Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf nun ches. We left off on daf nun zayin and beis. We're really right in the middle of a sentence. Again, we tend to do that. We're discussing the contrast between a Talmud Chacham's table and an Am Haaretz's table. So yesterday we mentioned what a Talmud Chacham's table looks like in terms of the percentage of it covered by a tablecloth and the percentage that's not. And on the very last line of daf nun zayin and beis, v'shalam haaretz domel madura ukederos makifos oso. The Am Haaretz's table looks like a madura, like a flame, like a torch. And says Rashbam shemukefos kederos, that's surrounded by pots. And the fire's in the middle. So afkan hamapa va'alechem ba'emtza va'ka'aros saviv. The bread and the tablecloth are in the middle, and the plates are all around it. Then the Gemara contrasts the bed of a Talmud Chacham with the bed of an Am Haaretz. Mita shel Talmid Chacham Ketzad. What does the bed of a Talmud Chacham look like? Kol she'in tachteha el sandalin b'yemos hachama u'menalin b'yemos hageshamim. So there are two different gersos here, actually, whether it's sandalin b'yemos hachama or menalin b'yemos hachama, meaning do you reverse the two? So the issue is, are we talking about what they put away under their beds, meaning they'll put away their winter shoes under their beds throughout the entire summer and their summer shoes under their beds throughout the entire winter? Or is it that no, when you go to sleep at night, you take off your shoes and you keep it under your bed? So it's whatever shoes that they were wearing. The winter shoes during the summer were put in storage somewhere. They weren't by the bed. But whatever you're wearing that day, so you would take off at night and keep it under your bed. But the point is, they didn't have anything else under their bed, meaning that it was that they were very neat, and that they wouldn't keep things. They wouldn't use the area under their bed as a storage place. But b'shala Am Haaretz doma la'otzer balam. But when it comes to an Am Haaretz, their beds look like an otzer balus. What does balus mean? Otzer, we know, means a storage area. So says Rashbam, otzer balus b'samach. It's not balum, it's balus b'samach. Kamo isa belusa b'mesach Shabbos paraklal gadol. Like the phrase isa belusa that we have in Mesach Shabbos, which means Isum ureves mi minin harbe. It means a dough that's a combination of many different minim that go together, many different grains and flours that go together to make the dough. V'chein otzer balus, and that's what otzer balus also means, minin harbe mu'uravin betocha, that there's so many different things mixed together, biyachad, all together. V'chein mitas ha'ma'aretz kol davar manichan tachas mitasan ochlin v'kelim. They put everything under the bed. They put food under their bed. They put kelim under their bed. And the bed is just a mess. It's a combination of a million different things. Now Rashi, Maseches Sukkah, and the Meiri explained that Talmidei Chachamim would only put very specific and few things under the bed, because it's a genai to put a lot of things under your bed, because when you store things under your bed, that means people are always going to be coming into your bedroom, right? Because people always need stuff. If you're wherever you keep things, that's where the food is, if that's the pantry, so the kids are always coming into the room and everyone else is always coming into the room. And it's a genai that a Talmud Chacham, especially with his wife, that people should always be running into their room and going under their bed. So therefore, the symbol of a bed of a Talmud Chacham, someone who has a sense of tznius, is that they keep very little in the room. There's very little reason anyone else besides for himself would ever need to go into his room. The Rosh Bam says Talmid Chacham would only put things under their bed if they wouldn't put too many things under their bed, and even if it's covered up, even if you cover it up with something in kelim or whatever, still they wouldn't write. That's what the Rosh Bam says on the third line of the page. Afil mechufin b'kli barzel. Even if they have storage bins that are made out of barzel, they still wouldn't put it under their beds. And Rosh Bam says because it's based on a ruach ra'a that's going to be shora on things that you sleep on top of. I mean, that's why the Rosh Bam emphasized later on that it's food, because when there's a ruach ra'a, that has a negative impact on the food. So the Bach understands that there's a machlokas here, Rashi and Rosh Bam, what the tam ha'isr is, whether it's because of a stam tznius issue or because of ruach ra, and the nafkamina is it only asr to put food under your bed, or is it asr to put other things under your bed as well? Right? If you're going to say that it's a ruach ra, it would seem that it should only be also to put food under your bed. The problem is that later on, the Rashi we read says, ochlin v'kelim. So that's a little bit difficult, meaning if the issue is a Ruach Ra, why does Kelim matter? Usually Ruach Ra is associated with food, not with Kelim. So that's a little bit difficult. Also, the issue of sleeping on food, having food underneath your bed when you sleep, so the Shvus Yaakov has a tshuva, it's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva in Yerodeya, right? There's a siman in Yerodeya about Dvarim HaSurim Mishum Sakana, things that you can't do because they're considered dangerous. Right, so he quotes a Shvus Yaakov that says that's only a din l'chadchila, that you shouldn't put food under a bed. But if food was under a place where somebody slept, it's still going to be mutter to eat. And he has an interesting raya. The raya that he has that we know we're not allowed to eat food from an Ama Aretz because of a chshash. It's called demai because of a chshash that he didn't take off maisos. Right, but if an Ama Aretz sleeps with food under his bed, so shouldn't we not be allowed to eat food of an Ama Aretz? Forgetting the maestro's issue, simply because it has a ruach ra in it. So he says, Elamai, you see from there that the idea of ruach ra is only a din lechadchila, but b'diavad it's not going to ask for the food. Other poskim disagree. They quote from the gra, some of the sarim quote from the gra, that the gra was makbid, even b'diavad, that he wouldn't eat food that was under a bed where somebody slept. It's not so clear that the gra was really makbid, because other sarim say the chayi adam, in Klal Beis, says that something that's asur mishum ruach ra is mutter b'diavad ba'achila, and the edus that the gra was machmir about this is not so clear, because the Darkei Tshuva writes that he found in the Sefer Shari Rachmim that Chaim V'Lashon said that yes, the gra was machmir for himself, but for other people he was mekel. It was just an extra chumrah he took upon himself. But Meikar Adin, he held that it was mutter to eat food that was underneath the bed. Where this shaila comes up, most of us don't keep food under our bed. Two places it comes up. Number one, in summer camp, when kids are in camp, a lot of times they'll store bins full of food, and storage is limited. They'll keep it under their bed. And number two is I saw tshuva in. I forgot the name of the sefer. Rabbi Grossman is the name of the author. The Darash V'Chakarta, maybe, I think is the name of the sefer. But there's I saw a tshuva about having food underneath the stroller. That a lot of times you're going somewhere for lunch, so you just stick the and you're bringing a salad, you bring something, a dessert, and you stick it in the basket underneath the stroller, and the baby falls asleep in the stroller on the way there. So is that a problem of food underneath the bed because someone slept on top of it? So that's where this is Nogei Lamaisa. Okay, I don't remember what he paskened. So but okay, that's where this is Nogei Lamaisa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, very unusual story. The Gemara says Rabbi Bna'a have a kumitzayin ma'arasa. Rabbi Bna'a used to mark off graves. He used to mark off when people were buried in caves. He would mark off where the people were buried. When he got to the cave of Avram, first of all, why did he do this? So Rashbam says, Adam gadol v'chashuv haya. He was a very important person. Lefichach nitan lo reshus likanes b'kivrei tzadikim. He was allowed to enter kivrei tzadikim. Aval achar lo, k'damrin gadol tzadikim v'sasun yasum v'chayein. Other people weren't allowed to do this. He was the one that got special permission. But why did he do it? V'yinichlas b'ma'aros u'modid midas arkon mi'bifnim v'achar kach modid mi'bachutz k'negdan. He would measure the inside, measure the outside. V'asu sham tziyun sid, and he would make a mark on it, k'dei l'hakir makom ha'tumah, so that people will know where the area of tumah is, v'lo yaviu taharos derech kan, shel yayil al kever, so that people shouldn't bring taharos over there, where it's going to be mahil on the kever, and it's going to cause the taharos to become tameh. The obvious question is, if he's marking off the area of tumah, why does the Rashbam say so that people don't bring taharos? Isn't there a more obvious reason why you would mark off an area of the kever? For reasons of Tumah, namely that a Kohen should know where not to go. Why Dafka does he focus on Taharos? So this Gemara happens to be a major source in the larger sugya about whether Kivrei Tzadikim are Metameh at all. And there is the idea out there, at least, that perhaps, according to the Rashbam, Kivrei Tzadikim are not Metameh in terms of Tumas Kohanim, but they are Metameh in terms of Taharos. And that's why you Dafka have to mark it off for Taharos. Because the Pashtus is that he did this for Tumas Kohanim, not for Taharos. But the Rashbam says not that way. So, in fact, most of the Achronim understand that it had to do with Kohanim, that it had nothing to do with Taharos. The Mishnah LeMelech in Hilchos Avil Perkei and Rabbi Kiva Eger in the Tshuva, Tinyan HaSemin Yilches, bring a raya from this Gemara to the Shitas HaRambam. There's Machlokas Rambam and the Ravid. What if the Kohen's already Tamei Meis? Is there any problem with him becoming Tamei Meis? He's already Tamei Meis. We don't have Parah Adumah. The Tumah doesn't go away. So the Rambam holds absolutely yes. There is a problem with someone who's already Tamei Meis becoming Tamei Meis further, because already in the days of the Amoraim, everyone was Muchzak as being Tamei Meis, like today. And still, you see, Rabbi Menahel was marking off the Kever to make sure that no Kohanim would become Tamei. Again, not like the Rashbam that it was about Taros, it was about Kohanim. So you see that a Kohen is already Tamei Meis, is not allowed to become Tamei Meis further. He's not allowed to, and the Ravid says not so. The Ravid thinks that there's no, even Nisim Midrabanan doesn't exist. That once you're Tamei, you're Tamei. So what are you going to, most of Tumal Tumasa? What kind of most of Tumal Tumasa? You're Tamei Meis. How much more Tamei can you get? So there's no problem. So they use this Gemara as a Raya against the Ravid. Okay, but it is somewhat unusual that the Rashbam chooses the example of Taharos rather than the example, what would seem like the more obvious example of Kohanim. The third possibility, and it's quoted in Birei Adaf, quotes from Kaftor Vaferach, quotes the third possibility. Why is he marking off the Kvarim? He's Dafka going to Kivrei Tzadikim. He's marking off Kvarim so people can know where Kivrei Tzadikim are, so people could properly be mispalel by the Kivrei Tzadikim to be Mevakesh Rachamim. Where do we ever have a source that it's appropriate to be mispalel by Kivrei Tzadikim? So Gemara Bamitzia, Daf Peches, tells us that Reish Lakish did the same thing, that he was Mitzayin Marasa Drabanan. He was Mitzayin the burial places of rabbis. And again, because of Kivrei Tzadikim is the Pashas that he did it. Why? So the Gemara in Sota, Lamed Daled Amud Beis, tells us that's what Kalev did. When Kalev came to Eretz Yisrael, when the Meraglim came to Eretz Yisrael, where did Kalev go? He went straight to Maros HaMachpelah, to Davin by Kivrei Avos. And through that tefillah, he was zochet to be able to have the inner fortitude and the strength to overcome the Atzas Meraglim. So being mispalel Kivrei Tzadikim is considered a very positive thing. And therefore, Rabbi Noah was doing this service to the community by marking off the Kivrei Tzadikim. Now it's interesting, the over here it just says Rabbi Noah have a kometzayin ma'arasa. In the Gemara B'Metzia Pehei, it says Reish Lakish have a kometzayin ma'arasa dirabanan. So the implication is that over here it wasn't only rabbis' graves. Meaning, by Reish Lakish, it sounds a little bit more that the issue is Kivrei Tzadikim. Over here, it sounds less like Kivrei Tzadikim. In fact, it's unusual, because Rashi on that Gemara, where it says he was Mitzayin Marasa D'Rabbanan, Rashi says that he did it so that the Kohanim shouldn't become Tamei, because you don't want a Takala to happen through Tzadikim. So Rashi tries to account for the fact that he tries to say, no, it wasn't so that people could be mispalel Kivrei Tzadikim, it was for Tumah issues. Why only the graves of Tzadikim? Because it would be very unfortunate if a Tzadik was Metame somebody. Meaning, normally we hope that a Tzadik doesn't cause any Takala to come through his hands. So it would be very unfortunate if a Takala came about through a Tzadik. That's very difficult, because it's unfortunate if anybody's Metame a Kohen. Kohen's not allowed to become Tamei. So yeah, we don't want a Takala to come about through a Tzaddik, but we don't want anyone to become Tamei. So the Rashash over there asks, why was he only Mitzayin the Maros of Talmidei Chachamim and not of regular people like Rabbi Binah did? Right over here it says he was a Mitzayin Stam. So he says it has to be, the Rashash says that it has to be that when Reish Lakish was being Mitzayin, it was for the Kivrei Tzaddikim issue. Over here, maybe it was for a Tumah issue. Okay, but that's the basic discussion. What the issue was. Why he was Mitzayin. So again, three basic shitas. Either he was Mitzayin for Tumah Tahara, that you shouldn't be Mitame Taharos. Or he was Mitzayin because you didn't want Kohanim to become Tame. Or he was Mitzayin because he wanted people to know where Tzadikim were buried, so he could daven at Kibre Tzadikim. Even though the Gemara over here does not say he was Dafka Mitzayin, the graves of Chachamim, but maybe that's what it means. In fact, the story that follows is certainly about the graves of Tzadikim. So says the Gemara Vayta, what's the story? Kimat l'marasa d'Avram, when he got to Avram Avinu's Kever, Ashkechel Eliezer Ever Avram Dekai Kame Bava. He saw Eliezer Ever Avram was standing by the door, was blocking the door. Amalei, my Kavod Avram. So he said to Eliezer, what's Avram Avinu doing right now? Amalei, Gani Bekanfa de Sara. He's lying down in Sara's lap. The Kama'ina Liberation, and she's looking in his head. She's inspecting, she's giving him a lice inspection. That's what he's doing right now. Amalei, Zil Emalei Bana Kaya Bava. So he said to Eliezer, do me a favor, tell him Bina'a is at the door. Rabbi Bina'a says, tell him that Bina'a is at the door, that I'm here to do my measurements. Says, don't worry, you can go right in, even though normally it's inappropriate to look at a husband and wife when the husband's lying down in the wife's lap or whatever. Still, don't worry, there's no yetzer hara in that world, and therefore you can go in. It's not a problem. It's not an issue to go in and look because there's no yetzer hara in olam haba. By the way, Muke Yosef says, you see from there that it's dafka b'hayalma that there's no yetzer hara, but you see from there that a person, even with his wife, should not have any public displays of affection, because a public display of affection is megara the yetzer hara. It's dafka in the world to come that there's no yetzer hara, that the public display of affection is okay. Lest you think this is nagadat gemara and that has nothing to do with the halacha, the Rama. In Evan Ezer, Simon Chafal of Sifei, read the Ramah. The Ramah writes, Yesh omrim de'ein linhog afilu im ishto bedvarim shel chiba, that a person should not, even with his wife, do things that are lovey-dovey type of things. Kegon, for example, la'ayin bereshe im yeshlo kinim b'fnei acherim. For example, for her to do a lice check on him, in front of other people. Apparently that was considered a davar shel chiba. It was considered a very loving type of gesture, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. And he quotes in parentheses, where is this from? Numuke Yosef Parachesko Sabatim. It's Numuke Yosef on our Gemara. Now, the Beis Shmuel points out that, you're not allowed to get a lice check? If a female, if a woman is doing the lice check, is it asur? Is that really called davar shel chiba to get a lice check? So the Beis Shmuel points out that that even if he, what does he say? He said, "V'kasa b'taz v'zel shono v'nir di'esh chilek b'zed di'iyun l'chud ein nachon b'fnei acherim be'ishto." That it's dafka with your wife when she's just checking for lice, that it's not appropriate. Mishum haroa yavalu dehirur diniskar kiruv shalahem al yedei tashmish. Because someone who sees that it's a man, that it's a wife checking, well, when you see husband and wife touching and you know, doing things like that, so then it brings to mind what they probably also do. So that's where it's going to be a problem of hirhurim. But if you have your daughter or your sister checking your hair for lice, v'nechta or a granddaughter, she'in kan zichron tashmish, where no one's going to look and say, oh, you see how intimate they are, so then it's going to be mutter b'fnei acherim. Then it's going to be mutter in front of other people. But that's only when it's stam a lice check. Aval shchiva b'chika, but to lie down in her lap, pshita da asra afilu shalom b'fnei acherim. That's asr to do with your daughter or granddaughter or whatever, even if it's not, even if other people are not around. Right, you don't lie down in somebody else's lap besides for your wife. But he says, even a single girl, you should not have a lice check from even a single girl. So he basically has three levels. There are other relatives who would not be megari yitzar hara at all, who can do a lice check, can't do lying in the lap. There's any form of showing of chiba with your wife in a public way, or even if it's not, would not be normally considered a showing of chiba, but it might lead other people to start thinking about intimacy. So that cannot be done in a public place. And then obviously with other people, with other single women, that's all these things are, and Arayo certainly, and Esh Hashish certainly, all these things are inappropriate. So anyway, Avram Avinu was lying in Sarah's lap, and he said, don't worry, in that world there's no Yetzer Hara. So you can come in, it's not so bad. A public display of affection in that world is not so bad because there's no Yetzer Hara. So Ayil, he went in, Iyin V'nafak, and he took a look and he went out. Then when he got to the kever of Adam Arishon, Yatsa Baskel V'Yamra, a Baskel came out and said, Nistakalta B'dumus D'yukni, B'dyukni Atzma Al Tistakel. You've seen an image of God, so to speak, in seeing the image of the Avos, but to see D'yukni Atzma, to see the actual original image, what's the demus tiyukni that he saw? So Pashas is Avram Avinu, right? Because that's the only one that we were told about. It says Rashbam, b'demus tiyukni Yaakov. Damrin b'samuch shufrei di Yaakov mein shufrei dodam rishon. That Yaakov's beauty was the only thing that was like an image, a mirror of Adam Arishon's beauty. So demus tiyukni is a reference to Yaakov. That he didn't only go into Avram, it's just Avram was the only one that was eventful because he had that whole discussion about what Avram was doing at the time. But he must have gotten into the other Avos as well. So we had seen Yaakov, so now you're not allowed to look at Adam Arishon. That's too powerful an image for him to see. So he said, what do you mean? How can I not look? I need to be mitzayin where the graves are. Kemidas hachitzon kach midas hapanimis. So he's told, don't worry, the same measurements that you could take on the outside, that's what it is on the inside. That's where he is on the inside. Ulmandi amr shnei batim zulam ala mizu, kemidas elyon kach midas hatachtona. And if it was one above the other, as opposed to inside and outside, so he was told the same midah, the same measurement that you have on the top, is the same measurement you have on the bottom. I got an email from somebody a couple of weeks ago who's in Eretz Yisrael, who's a Kohen. He wanted to know if he's allowed to go to Maris HaMachpelah. Right? So the Chor of this Gemara seems to indicate that going to Maris HaMachpelah is a real problem. Right, because he could become tamei, meaning he was mitzayin the kvarim because kohanim becoming tamei. So unless you go with the approach that no, there was no real chashash of tumah, it was just that he was going to mark off places where people can daven. But there's a famous psak from Mordechai Eliyahu that kohanim are allowed to go. I think Rav Vadia holds no. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu holds that they are allowed to go. There's a big discussion there. It's all whether they can go. Is there any A, do we really know where they are, where any of the bodies are? And B, they're built in such a way that there's a poseach tefach underneath the ground anyway where the tumah would stop. So it's a big tumult about whether Kohen is allowed to go to the Maris HaMachpelah. But anyway, so Rabbi Noah finally was marked off all these kvarim. So Amar Rabbi Noah, Nistakalti b'shnei akevav, he says, I saw the two heels of Adam HaRishon, v'domim l'shnei galgalei chaman. They look like two suns. Hakol b'fnei sarah k'kof b'fnei Adam. Anyone in comparison to Sarah is like a monkey in comparison to a human being. Sarah b'fnei Chava k'kof b'fnei Adam. Sarah in front of Chava is like a monkey compared to a human being. Chava b'fnei Adam k'kof b'fnei Adam. And Chava in comparison to Adam is like a monkey compared to a human being. Adam b'fnei Shechina k'kof b'fnei Adam. And Adam compared to the Shechina is like a monkey compared to a human being. Meaning the further you move away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direct handiwork, the less beauty there is. Then the Gemara is going to get into a little discussion of beauty. Just one more thing before we move on. Tosus over here, Mitzayin Ma'arasa, Tosus says, Mishum dekever sasim tumah b'kas v'yala, because it's an issue of tumah, that's why he marked off the graves. Frak Tosus v'im tomar, v'ein kivri ovdi k'chav mitam ba'ohel. Kavarim of non-Jews are not mitami ba'ol, mishum dein kriin adam. Vafilu rabban de pligi Rabbi Shimon v'amri de mitam ba'ol. Mikol makom bekever shel fnei hadibur lo marba lo benazir elin negia. O bekever the rabbis kever shel fnei hadibur umikra de kasev gabi negia marbi lahasam. So frekt tosos before matan Torah the avos were not mitami ba'ol. So what's the point of being mitzayin the kavaros? They're not mitami ba'ol anyway. Right, there was these are kvarim before Matan Torah. So it says also Yeshlom da Avram nikra Adam d'chsev ha Adam hagadol. That Avram Avinu anyway is called Adam because it says ha Adam hagadol. V'chein Adam Rishon ulahachi ein l'mata mikra da Adam. Therefore, they're not excluded from the pasuk of Adam, which normally excludes of the kochavim. They're not excluded. The avos are not excluded because they're called ha Adam hagadol. The Rav Chanan points out that according to this answer, it would not have been necessary to be mitzayin the kever of Yaakov Avinu, because we don't find anywhere that Yaakov Avinu is called Adam. And yet, the Rashbam understands that when it says that he saw the Musti Yukni, that's a reference to seeing Yaakov Avinu, so apparently he was mitzayin the kever of Yaakov Avinu. So the Rishonim give other answers as to why he needed to be mitzayin the kevarim, if after all, kevarim lefnei adibor are not mitamei. So the Ramban says because the avos were mekayim kol haTorah kula ad shelo nitna, so even though erechinami they're not metame, but mishum kvodam as a way of showing kavod to them that kiilu they are metame, he wanted to mark off their kvarim. The Rishonim give other answers. Ritva says Avram Avinu was a navi who was mekayim kol haTorah, and therefore he is metame. The fact that he's mekayim kol haTorah kula and he was a navi makes him like a Jew, a regular Jew, and therefore he is metame. There's a big discussion. Mishnah Melech in Parshas Drachim has a long essay as to whether the avos had a status of Jews or bnei Noach. Right? We always think of the avos as Jews, but he brings many rayas in both directions whether the avos had a status of Jews or bnei Noach. And one of the issues he deals with is the maskana that he reaches is that they were safek; they themselves didn't know if they had a status of Jews or they had a status of bnei Noach. And then he deals with the issue. So what did they do about Shabbos? Right? The halacha is a guy she Shabbos is chayiv misa, and the Jew is chayiv to keep Shabbos. So there are like 12 answers to that question. Binyan Tzion's answers, there are a lot of answers to that question. But that's the one of the famous issues. The Reb Chaim over here, Reb Chaim on Shas and the stencils, says he doesn't understand the whole issue. He says, forgetting what all the Rishonim answer, he says, Lule Divrei Rishonim, it would be very, he thought the issue is very simple. That which we say, Kever Shelefnei Adibor, you don't, is not Metame Ba'oel, that's only if by the time Matan Torah happened, the person was no longer in the kever. We don't know where the kever is, or the kever was dug up, or whatever. But if the person is still in the kever at Matan Torah, so then it takes on the status of whatever every other kever at Matan Torah from Matan Torah and on is. So the Maros HaMachpelah would still be Matame. The Avos would still be Matame, because starting at Matan Torah, they would be Matame. Okay, that's the understanding. It's a difficult story to understand in general. The Maral understands that this is all allegorical, which is pashtus of any agadah, I guess, but he didn't actually physically go to the places, but rather it's describing Rabbi Noah's research into the personalities of the Avos and trying to figure out what they represent and who they are and what they're all about. And he dafka waits till people died, till he tries to sort of come up with the biography of who they are, because when a person's still alive, that changes very quickly. So he wanted to wait till everyone was dead, and once people are dead, he would go and he would investigate dead people and learn about their lives and try to figure out what the messages of their life is. And the Maharal explains this Gemara based on that. Obviously, we're not going to go into the whole explanation, but that's the basic format, and it's hard to understand this on a very literal level. But again, once we're talking about beauty, so the Gemara tells us a little bit about beautiful people. Shufrei de Rav Kahana mein Shufrei de Rav Yavo. Rav Kahana's beauty brought to mind the beauty of Rav Yavo was similar to the beauty of Rav Yavo. Shufrei de Rav Yavo mein Shufrei de Yaakov Vinu. Rav Yavo was almost as beautiful as Yaakov Vinu. Shufrei de Yaakov Vinu mein Shufrei de Adam Rishon, who in turn was almost as beautiful as Adam Rishon. Hahu am Gusha davachatet Shufrei. There was a sorcerer who was digging up graves. When he got to the grave of Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, he grabbed him. Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabs the sorcerer. Abai apparently was friendly with the sorcerer, didn't want him to suffer too much. So he told Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, let him go. Next year, Hada Asa Tafse Bidikne. Again, he came, and the Rav Tuvi Bar Masna grabbed the sorcerer by his beard. Asa Abaye. Abaye came. Lo Shafke Ataisim Mispar Vegazi Ledikne. And he wouldn't let him go, so he had to actually bring a scissor and cut off his beard in order that he should be let go. Again, allegorical, unclear exactly what it's talking about. Something about the symbolism of a beard, obviously. You have to look in the Mefarshei Agada. We don't have time. Dafyomi. Hudam lu chavisa da afra lechad barai. There was a guy who, before he died, said that a barrel of dirt should go to one of my sons. Chavisa degarmi lechad barai. A barrel of bones should go to one of my sons. Chavisa duj lechad barai. And a barrel of feathers should go to one of my sons. Lo viyadi mai kabalu. None of the children had any idea what in the world their father was talking about. And now he's dead, and they don't know who gets what. So asul kamed rabbi na amaluhu istluchuara. So they went to Rabbi Binah to find out what the father meant. So he said, well, do you have land? Amalei in. Yeah, we have land. Islechu chiyusa. Do you have animals? In. Yes, we have animals. Islechu bastarki. Do you have bastarki, which Rashbam says are types of clothing, which are made out of feathers and things like that? In. Yes, we have bastarki. Ihachi hachi kamalchu. He said that's what he meant. He obviously, when he said the barrel of dirt, he was referring to the land goes to that child. When he said the bones, he was referring to animals go to that child. And when he was referring to the feathers, he was talking about the clothing that goes to the other child. That's what he meant. So this is telling us about the wisdom of this Rabbi Bin Na'ah. Who gavra de shamala de bitu de kamar labarta. There was a man who heard his wife telling her daughter, Amai lot snias bi isura, hach itza sara bani isla, velesli me'avucha elchad. She said, you should be more private about the isurim that you do. She was, the mother was giving the daughter Musar. She says, you know, I violated some terrible isurim in my life and no one knows about it. I have 10 children and my husband thinks they're all his. Really, only one of them is his. And the husband overhears the wife telling this, that only one of the 10 children, that he thought he had this big, beautiful family of 10 children, he was wondering why some of them were black, some were Asian, some were... It turns out that only one of them was actually his child. The rest of them were not his child. So kishach evam luhu kol nechsi l'chad bra. So when he died, they all looked like they could be his child. So when he died, he said, all of my nechassim go to one son. lo yadi leheminai, but he never identified which son they all go to. So they all had a machlokas, obviously, who's going to be the son that gets all the money. Asal kamayad Rabbi Bina'a, so they went to Rabbi Bina'a, who apparently was a very wise man. Amaluhu zilu chavotu kivr davuchana dekai, umagli luchu leheminai chushavka. He says, here's what you got to do. You each have to go with a stick and start banging on your father's grave until somehow it will become clear, once you bang on the father's grave, who the right son is. Azukulu, how debray have a low azul. They all went and they started banging on the grave except for one. The one that was the real son didn't go and bang on the father's grave. Amalahu kulu nixi dahai. And Rabbi Noah said, ah, that's the one. That's the guy who's supposed to get all the nechassim. Now, how did he know? So says the Rashbam, kulu nixi dahai, she lo ratza lachbot al kivro shal aviv, shezeh haya hatsnua shebechem. The one that was that refused to go bang on his father's grave was obviously the one that was most refined in terms of his midos. He was the most tsanua. He wouldn't do that. And a mamzer is not going to be tsanua, is not going to be refined in terms of his midos. So he did a midos check, and this is the one that had the best midos. Umistavra dulze ohav yoser, and therefore probably he loved this one more, and therefore he said this the money should go to this child. Now all the Achronim ask, the Rashbam says to himself, Minei Ubei. On the one hand, he says, what was the reason that he knew this one was the child? Because he was the most tsanua. And then he says, it's Mistaver, this is the one that he loved more. Which one is it? Is it that he was the most tsanua? Or is that this is the one that he loved the most? What gave it away? Right? Which factor was it? So one of the Achronim, the Anaf Yosef, quotes the name of the Binil Itim. He says, no, what happened was the guy himself had no idea which child was his real child and which ones were Mamzerim. Problem is, why didn't he just say, Rabbi Noah, investigate, 9 of these kids are Mamzerim, find out who it is? Why do you have to say it in such a strange way? All my Nechassim go to one child, right? Why do you have to say it like that? So Rabbi Noah understood that the guy didn't want to embarrass his family. He didn't want Shem Ra going out about the family, that 9 of them were Mamzerim. He didn't want to reveal that. So he had to do it in a clever way. So Rabbi Noah had to come up with something that the children would understand why one of them gets it and the other 9 don't, without knowing that they're Mamzerim. So Rabbi Noah does the test. He realizes this one's not a Mamzer, the other 9 are Mamzerim, but he doesn't want to say that. So what does he tell them? He says, obviously, your father loved this one the most. He had the closest relationship with this one, because this is the one that wouldn't bang on his kever. Obviously, they must have had a very close relationship, and therefore, that must be who your father intended to give it to. That's Shuda Dedaini. Nothing to do with Mamzerus. And he wouldn't reveal why he gave it to that one. It was Shuda Dedaini, he said. It's just my judgment. And this obviously relates back to the Machlokas of what Shuda Dedaini is. Is Shuda Dedaini Stam, whoever the Dain wants to give it to? Or is Shuda Dedaini that you look for an indication of what the Das of the person really was? The Rav Elchanan points out this is a great raya that Shuda Dedaini is. You try to figure out what the das of the person really was, because that's how he explained it to them. He said it's a Shuda Dedaini, and it's Mistaver that your father wanted to give it to this guy, this kid, because he's the one that he had the most loving relationship with. So anyway, the other 9 weren't very happy. Azu Achlu Kortza Beimalka. They went to the king. Amri Ika Gavra Chavi Yudai Dekamapik Mona Me'anchi Below Sahadi Below Raya. So they said, and they reported to the king that there is this Jew, Rabbi Bina'a, who's taking away money from people without any witnesses, without any proofs, meaning we were entitled to inheritance, and our father just and Rabbi Bina'a just said, no, you're not entitled to it. So Asiu Chavshu, so they jailed Rabbi Bina'a. Azad Bitu, Rabbi Bina'a's wife came. Amr Lahu Avda Chad Havli Paskul Reshe Upashul Mashke Vachlu Bisra Vekamalu Beimaya Umashke Belechavraya Veloka Yavli Dami Velo Igre. And his wife said, you know, I had an eved that they cut off his head, they skinned him, they ate his meat, and they filled his skin with water, and they were drinking with all their friends the water from his skin, and they didn't give me any money, they didn't give me any payment for the eved that they took from me. Lo Yadi Maika Amrulhu. So this woman starts ranting about this servant and this strange episode. No one knew what she was talking about. She was talking in riddles. So Amri Nesul Chachim Diyudai Velema. She says, ah, but we have that Chacham, that Jewish Chacham, who's in the jail. Maybe he'll be able to explain to us what in the world this crazy woman is talking about, the woman who happened to have been his wife. So Karyul Rabbi Bina'a. So they called Rabbi Bina'a. Amrluhu, Zarnuka Amrluhu. So he said, Zarnuka Amrluhu. What does that mean? Says Rashbam, Nod Shalar Vekacharma, Tayesh Havali. She's referring to a goat that she had, Vegozlu Mimeni, that was stolen from her Veshachtu, and was Shechted Vachlas Abbas. And this whole episode that she's describing happened wasn't an Evet, it wasn't done to a human being, it was done to a goat. But that goat worked for her, and therefore when she refers to an Evet, she's referring to that goat. It's a big question in the Achronim, the Marsha asks in the Chiddush Agados. So the great Chachma is that he understood that instead of an Evet, it's a goat. The whole rest of the story is exactly, you know, it doesn't change anything. Everything else is exactly the same. But the fact that it's an Evet instead of a goat, okay, a good kasha. So Amri, Hol v'chachem kulehai, but for whatever reason, they were very impressed with him. They said, wow, that's brilliant. You understood that it's a goat and not an Evet. So since you're so smart, leisav ababim nedon dino, why don't you sit by the doorway and you could be done our dinim. You could be in charge of judging. Chazadav ksiv ba'avula, called Dayan de Miskari Ledin Lo Shmei Dayan. And he saw that it was written by the doors of the courthouse that any Dayan who's set aside to be done the Dine Yair, and sometimes he's Miskari Ledin, sometimes he's faced with a subpoena for a din himself, so he's not a good Dayan. I mean, the Dayan has to be so above board that no one could ever sue him. If anyone ever sued the Dayan ever, then he can't be a good Dayan. So Amar Lahu, so meaning, and they were trying to hint to him, look, we want to make you a Dayan, but look, you know, that the old adage goes that anyone who ever had any tainas on can't be a Dayan. And these nine kids had tainas on you, that you were being done without any raya. So Amar Lahu, Elameata, so he says, but that's absurd. Meaning the adage is absurd. He says, if that were true, Asa Inish Me'alma, Umazman Le Ledina Pasle. Whenever you have a Dayan that you want to apostle, so all you got to do is go and sue him. It could be a frivolous lawsuit. It's fine, just sue him, and then he'll be apostle Dayan. That's ridiculous. Anyone could apostle any Dayan that way. That's absurd. So Ella, he says, if you want to have a good adage, it should be the following. Called Dayan de Miskari Ledina Mafkin Mine Mamona Bedin Lashme Dayan. Anyone who loses a Din Torah is not called a Dayan. That's where he's not. Meaning, what was the case? Someone sues him, he denies it, and then Edom come and are Mechayiv him. That someone is not a good Dayan. Says Tosos, but let's say an Eid Echad comes and is Mechayiv him a Shvua, and he refuses to take the Shvua, and therefore he has to pay, that does not possible a person from being a Dayan. Just refusing to take a Shvua is because he doesn't want to take a Shvua. It's a very chumra thing to take a Shvua. So the fact that he pays instead of taking a Shvua is not an indication of guilt. Right, it's almost like in today's legal system, the fact that someone pleads no contest or guilty sometimes does not necessarily mean the person is guilty. It just means that the person doesn't trust the system or doesn't want to go through the process. It's not worth going through the process. So that's all the shvua is, says Tosfos. Kasu hachi baram sabi diudai ami kol dayin de miskari ledin umafkim nemrona bedin laf shmei dayin. So they say they changed the adage. Chazad ixiv brosh kamusa ana dam brosh kalchayin ana chamar. And then he saw that it said also another adage that brosh kalmosim ana dam, that on top of all death, the what leads all death is dam. A person only dies when he has too much blood, when he doesn't do enough bloodletting. Brosh kalchayin on top of all life is chamar, is wine. That a person lives by wine. Wine helps a person live a more fruitful life. Elameata denafel miigro mis denafel midiklo mis damakatle. So he says, but that's a ridiculous adage. When a person gets hit by a truck, you think it's because he didn't do enough bloodletting that he died? No, he died because he had suffered some terrible calamity. He doesn't say hit by a truck. He says falls from a roof. So obviously he didn't die because he didn't do bloodletting. And also, what, wine is such a cure-all? If a person is dying and you give him wine, that just makes him better? It's not a refuah, it's not a medicine. He says, if you want to write some wise adage, you should say as follows. Barosh kalmarin anadam. That barosh kalmarin is blood, not barosh kalmisa, meaning all illness that a person suffers very often is because he didn't take proper care of himself and do the proper amount of bloodletting. You could die by getting hit by a truck, but illness that comes about is often a person was vulnerable to the illness because he didn't do bloodletting. Brosh kal asvun anachamar. When a person gets sick, He could have not as a wine does not serve as a medication, but it very often serves as a preventative measure. That it's like taking vitamins. That if you drink wine in proper measure, you could avoid illness. So then they wrote underneath their old adage. It says this was our adage, but the Jewish scholar says brosh kalmarin an adam brosh kalasrin an achamar, and they noted the change. It's interesting. They didn't erase it. They just noted the change underneath where they had written their original adage. And when there's no wine, that's where you need to find a lot. That's where you need a good pharmacy. That's where you're going to need a lot of medication. Ksiva pischa de kaputkia anpak anbag antal. That it said on this is a totally separate issue. Rosh Bam says milsavan fe nafshehi. This has nothing to do with anything we just said. Vagav grarin nasav luma bnei ir misham kasvu sheshlosh shema salalu mida achasein. That they would say that all these three names are the same. Are the same measurements, meaning when you say anpak, anbag, and antal, they're all the same measurement. They all refer to the same thing. It's just some places they call it an anpak, some places they call it an antal, some places they call it an anbag, but it's all the same. So aveizu antal, what's an antal? Zer revius shel Torah. All of those are measurements that really just correspond to what we call a revius. But they're all simply measurements, and that has nothing to do with the previous story of Rabbi Noah, just a nice teaching. Tosis is a little bit different, but we don't have time for it now. We'll pick up from the Mishnah tomorrow. A little bit behind, we'll try to catch up tomorrow. Bez Hashem, I got to get to Yeshiva.